When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Voice line, we're taking your calls. There's a lot of stuff to be pissed off about, so you could check in at 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86, or use the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app. There's been a couple of really terrible crimes committed this week. One of them involved the sheriff's deputy shot in the back while he's sitting on his motorcycle at a traffic light in West Covina. Fortunately, he had a bulletproof vest on, so the injuries weren't that serious. The other one was very tragic. A woman stabbed to death, stabbed in the neck and throat while coming home from working overnight at a Tommy's burger shop in North Hills. And she gets off the train and gets stabbed by this crazy psycho who has committed crimes against other passengers on the Metro train previously. But, you know, nobody really does anything about it. And we're going to talk to Blake Trolley. George Gascon held a press conference earlier this afternoon to discuss both cases, the deputy getting shot in West Covina and this poor woman getting stabbed to death at Studio City at the train station, coming off the train. Blake, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, John. Yeah, which of these cases do you want to begin with here?
Well, let's start with the West Covina with the cop, because I think we're going to end up doing more on the poor woman. But what did he say about the guy who shot the cop in West Covina, the sheriff's deputy?
Yeah, so Gascon came out and actually started his press conference with the charges against Raymundo Duran. He's been charged with attempted murder of a peace officer, assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer, as well as being a felon in possession of a gun. Now, there have been multiple reports, John, about Duran's background. And so Gascon, he went to questions actually before he went into the train case. So it was kind of like he set up, you know, the details of this case. Mm-hmm. He did lay out some new details about this before. I should actually go into that a little bit. Yeah. We're starting to get a little bit of a better picture of what happened. It sounds like prosecutors are alleging Duran rolled up next to the deputy who was sitting at that red light, as you'll remember, in West Covina, rolled his window down and shot him. Now, it sounds like the bullet, and remember, no matter, even though he was hit in a bulletproof vest, no matter where you're hit with a bulletproof vest, is extremely painful. I had an LA County Sheriff's deputy earlier this week tell me it feels like getting beaned with a 90-mile-per-hour fastball. That was about the best he could describe the feeling, and it hit this deputy in a pretty critical spot. We're told today, Gascon told reporters today that it had hit the deputy where his neck and shoulder meet. So you could only imagine what that kind of force hitting that part of your body would even be like. And one thing I do also want to touch on, I don't know if we talked about this yesterday, while he has been released from the hospital, one of the things that Sheriff Luna alluded to was that this deputy could be dealing with, you know, mental and emotional trauma from this for a long time. But anyways, I've seen certain reports detailing this guy's criminal history. One of the most clearly laid out showed that this guy was convicted of manslaughter in 2001, felony evading in 2021, and I believe that that car chase was actually caught on TV, at least the tail end of it was, on Fox 11. A conviction for being a felon in possession of a gun in 2022 and a DUI arrest last October. So Gascon goes straight to questions, and I immediately wonder just what is this dude doing out on the streets? Take a listen to this, and I want to go through the whole thing because another reporter follows up right away and tries to get more details on these sentencings.
Yes, sir. So we've heard some concerning reports about the background of both of the, we'll start with this case, with the deputy being shot, that this man had an extensive criminal record. Why was he still out on the streets given that record, especially some of the violence that was included in that record?
Okay, I cannot get into the details because we do not want to compromise the prosecution, but man did time in prison for an event that occurred in 2019. He did time in prison for an event that occurred in 2022, and he also had prior charges. He's being charged accordingly. He has one strike prior, so that's being included in the consideration. But we must understand this is still an ongoing investigation. And we want to protect the integrity of the investigation.
Yes. Did he, in fact, complete both state prison terms that he was sentenced for those previous crimes? But technically, was he released, free, probation, possibly?
I don't have the answer because I don't know exactly how much time he did, but in 2022, he was sentenced to 32 months in prison. Clearly, 32 months haven't passed by, I don't think. But I, yeah.
So there you have it. It sounds like he wasn't even completing the sentences he has, and that's something that we've heard. You know,
well,
that
first
concern.
Of all, Gascon didn't even really know. All right, and he should come to the podium and he should be able to go through line by line the guy's entire record because it matters. He's a lifetime violent offender. Secondly, he tries to dodge the answer by saying, "Oh well, yeah, we don't want to compromise the investigation. The old cases are closed." The old case is he's already been convicted and sentenced and served time for. So that, again, is public record. That doesn't compromise the 2024 case to tell us what happened in 2019 or 2021.
And when you hear, I was thinking that too. I was like, how would this actually compromise the case when it goes to court? I mean, I'm no attorney, but I'm thinking, even as a common man, I'm thinking, would this actually compromise these new charges?
No, this is, he's just reading history. But he didn't really know all the history. And he can't. And then when he says, felony evading in 2021, well, what was the sentence for that? What was a prior event that occurred in 2019? What was that? And, then felony in possession of gun in 2022. Yeah, 32 months. That would be 2 years and 8 months. And that should take you into 2025.
Yeah, so, a couple things here, John. I mean, let's look at what led, before he was a felon in possession of a gun, what led him to become a felon in the first place? Well, apparently, according to reports, that was stabbing a coworker in 2001. He was sentenced or he was convicted of manslaughter for that case. And again, felony evading
so
in
he
2021.
Killed some, wait, he killed somebody in 2001?
Yeah, manslaughter conviction for stabbing a coworker to death in 2001. That's what's been reported. And that was some great background reporting by Bill Malugin at Fox News, who really dug through this guy's record. And then according to this same report, and I know Fox 11 had caught this this chase on video, he got felony evading. He was convicted of felony evading in 2021. So that's his criminal record before, just keep in mind, before he's a felon in illegally possessing a gun in 2022.
And then he follows up with a DUI in 2023.
Yeah, that was late 2023. That was in October.
And in 2024, he's doing target practice on a sheriff's deputy.
Well, let's not forget, he also gets pulled over for another DUI, apparently, down in San Diego County in San Onofre.
How many felonies does he get to commit? He nearly killed a sheriff's deputy. And what's Gascon's responsibility with the crime in 2021 and 2022? That's two felonies I see. I was writing this down as he was talking. So Gascon was in charge for those for the period where those two felonies were committed. Just anything goes now.
I mean, look, I'm not a prosecutor, but what I could say is I have serious questions when I see a manslaughter conviction for stabbing a coworker to death, and then somehow you end up with in a police chase in 2021.
Why wasn't that murder? And what else happened that the police never caught? I don't think he went quiet for 18 years. He must have been committing all kinds of other violent acts because that's how he's wired.
It's hard to imagine, right?
Yeah, what, did he open up a gardening store in between?
He may have.
All right, let's move on. Oh, we got to take a break. Do you got some more time?
Yeah. Let's do the train next.
Okay, we'll do the train next. And this woman who got stabbed to death while coming home from work at 5 in the morning at Studio City on a Metro train. Didn't have any armed police there either. Not even an ambassador.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Part two of Blake Trolley. George Gascon held a press conference. Two cases, one regarding the sheriff's deputy who was shot in the back in West Covina while on a motorcycle. Second one here, and by the way, that is outrageous. We'll be talking more about that in the days to come. Second is the woman who comes off a Metro train in Studio City at 5 in the morning, and this violent lunatic stabs her to death multiple times in the throat, in the neck, and it turns out he's got a long criminal record as well with violence. Let's go to Blake to tell us what Gascon had to say about this one.
Yeah, so this time we're talking about 45-year-old Elliot Noden. He's been charged, and these charges were just announced in that same press conference, John. He's been charged with murder, robbery of a transit passenger. He's been hit with the special circumstances of murder being carried out for a robbery and that he went after a vulnerable victim. Now, you were mentioning his background, so let's do a little bit of recap and keep in mind that his background directly pertains to the transit system. In 2019, he was charged with attacking a passenger in LA, spent 5 days in jail. He was ordered to stay away from trains for 3 years as part of his probation. A few weeks after that, he was charged with assault with a deadly weapon and battery. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison. The LA Times reported that he paroled to a state hospital in March of 2022. He was released on parole, supervision in August of 2022, and discharged in March of last year. Now, we did see a report. NBC reported that their law enforcement sources said that Noden was arrested for assaulting a passenger on a Metro line earlier this year and that case had yet to be filed. So I had asked the DA why that case had not been filed, and here was his response to that.
There is no case that has been presented to my office. I'm not sure that it was presented to the city attorney. It appears to be a misdemeanor case, but we have not found any evidence that it was presented to the city attorney. It's not a case that was presented to my office.
So he's saying that the case has not been presented to his office and that it was maybe presented to the city attorney. That's something that we're going to have to work to find out because, you know, he was ordered a few years ago to stay off trains. That was part of his probation.
That's unenforceable. I mean, there's no way to enforce that. He's not going to stay off trains. He's not going to care.
Yeah, you think that case comes up, though. Somebody who's got a prior history of being ordered to stay off of trades, you know, has an assault charge on him. You think that either the city attorney or the DA's office would take that pretty seriously. Now, I was told by somebody today, a source told me that that case was really, really minor. It sounds like maybe it was just some sort of push or shove. But nonetheless, given his history, you think they might dig into that, you know, a little bit more. But yeah, he's been charged today. He is facing life in prison. One of the new details that we found about this case is that the woman, when she was attacked, we heard yesterday that she was attacked, and it was also that this man could steal her purse. But what we're also told today is that she was actually sitting down when she was attacked. So when they say completely unprovoked, and keep in mind this was all caught on camera, she was sitting down. It almost sounds like some sort of ambush attack to get her purse.
Yeah, that's what psychotics do. This guy's 45 years old. He's clearly insane and should have been locked up. If they took him to the state hospital, what did they take him to the state hospital for back in 2022? And why did he let him out? This is the stuff the public should know. We're paying for all this. Why can't we know what was the diagnosis and who decided he was cured? Based on what? Clearly he wasn't. But none of this stuff ever gets reported anywhere after the incident.
Well, we've heard law enforcement in the past talk about the fact that we really just don't have any state hospital capacity. And from what I've been told, actually, John, is that when you start looking at county jails, when people are sentenced to county jails, that gets even more concerning when you hear about capacity and people being sentenced and let out early. In fact, I was told by one former prosecutor that it's hard sometimes for prosecutors to get diversion now because people know they're going to spend more time in the state hospital or whatever sort of probationary program they're sent to than actually going to county jail.
Well, we spend over $300 billion a year just on the state level. I'm sure they could build a psych hospital out of that.
One thing I asked Gascon to touch on today is I said, look, you've kind of got a bird's eye view on this. I mean, we talk about, John, how many cases don't go reported. I wonder how many assaults, things of that nature on the Metro system don't even make the news.
Right.
So I had asked the DA today what he thinks of Metro's, you know, the status of public safety on Metro, given that he gets a bird's eye view of all these cases. And here's his response to that.
The majority of these cases in the city of L.A. are misdemeanors that go to the city attorney. So we don't have visibility to those cases. But I think it's important to understand that in 2023, according to Metro, there are 7 million people riding or 7 million rides every week. So this is a very large transit system with millions of people going through it every week. And the number of cases that it may involve misdemeanor cases, you know, we generally will not have visibility, especially in the city of LA, Long Beach, and other cities that have their own city attorney. On the felony side, when they come to us, we have a very high filing rate, but it's very hard for us to quantify Metro because sometimes those cases are not necessarily identified as a Metro crime. They're identified as a crime that could be somewhere adjacent to.
So then you wonder how many cases there are that have come up near a Metro station. Yeah. And I'm sure if you've ever spent any time near one of those, they're not the most welcoming places.
No. And are they Metro officials speaking out about this? I mean, how many of their customers get stabbed to death before they start talking and explaining why this is going on? Why don't they have a much stronger police presence? And why don't they ditch this childish ambassador idea?
You know, Mayor Bass was actually asked about this.
Well, she's the chairman. Isn't she the chairwoman of the Metro board?
She's chair of the Metro board. She actually referenced that in this answer. So the day that woman was tragically murdered, she was rolling out her budget. So she had that budget press conference. And I was actually up at the train station, so I was handling this. But reporters that were at that press conference asked the mayor to weigh in. And here's what she had to say.
My goodness, what can I say other than that? That is just a horrific tragedy. And I don't have a lot of the details about it, except for I know that she was attacked and I know that she later passed away. And so serving as the chair of MTA, you know, we have really done everything we can to strengthen safety.
No, you haven't.
On the system. And actually, prior to it was this incident, and then there was another one, too, a couple of weeks ago, where crime had been down significantly, especially violent crime, and that our ridership is up so much.
Oh, let's go to cheerleader mode, right?
Second largest ridership in the country.
Body's not even cold yet. Let's start doing the cheerleading.
To hear that, and I do plan to learn far more about the details so that we understand what happened.
You let us know.
My message to the community is Metro is safe, much safer than it was a few months ago. And again, we are going to look into the details of what happened in these last two incidences.
Okay. All right, Blake, I could talk to you all day. I got to go.
All right, John.
I'm going to have more on this this woman who got killed. Her name was Myrna Sosa. And you'll see the background. And Karen Bass, things are getting safer all the time, huh?
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Conway's coming up at 4 o'clock. I want to follow up on Blake Trolley's report, Gascon. Boy, he is something else. Gascon did a news conference on two of the big crimes of the week. The sheriff's deputy that got shot at in the back. Bullet hit his bulletproof vest, but still, it was quite a shock to the system. They've found that guy. He's been arrested and charged, and so has the guy who killed the woman in Studio City coming off that train, Metro train. Metro runs just an absolute reprehensible business there. It's just awful how they don't care about their passengers remaining alive, and also they don't care about their passengers traveling calmly, safely, relaxed. You know, they've done nothing about getting all the crazy people and the psychos off the trains. You know, when you interview, as Blake did yesterday, just random people coming off the train, you hear the stories of what's going on there. And I really resent Karen Bass going, oh, it's getting safer every day. You know, things are getting better. Yeah, she would have said that. She would have said that on Sunday before this woman got stabbed in the throat, stabbed to death. Want to hear her story? Myrna Sosa is her name, was her name. And most nights for 3 years, she was a security guard at the original Tommy's hamburger stand in North Hills. She'd start work at 7 p.m. and work until 3 or 4 a.m. And then she'd wait at Tommy's. She wouldn't go home right away because she didn't want to go on the train while it was dark. So she would hang around for a couple of hours until the sun started to rise and then take a bus or a train home. And she'd go home and go to bed and sleep until she had to get up and do it all over again. But some nights she was too tired and she'd leave early. And that's what she did Monday morning. She came from Nicaragua. She had a small house in Managua where two of her three children live. And it was being constructed. And she's hoping that the construction would end within the year and she could move back home. She's got two grandchildren in Managua, ages 13 and 10. So she left her family to come here and make money. And she's working security at a hamburger stand in North Hills. And then risking her life every morning in Karen Bass's city to get on the safe train, on the safe metro train that takes her to the safe metro station. Oops, looks like one of the bad guys that Gascon never put away jumps out with a knife and stabs her to death. Whoops. Whoops, says George Gascon. Whoops, says Karen Bass. But otherwise, everything's safe. Now, Bass is the chair of the Metro Board. They could mandate lots of police officers to scare away these bad guys. Gascon could make sure this character is put away for good. His name is Elliot Noden. And again, Elliot Noden already killed somebody in 2001. Stabbed somebody. They called it manslaughter. In 2019, he had unspecified event. Gascon wasn't sure what it was. 2021, he was your entertainment on television. He was evading police. That was another felony. Then 2022, attacked another passenger. A felon in possession of a gun in 2022, I should say. 2023, a DUI. In 2019, he attacked a passenger. He was arrested several times recently this year. 2024, assault at the same Red Line station. So he's got, I don't know, I stopped counting. How many times has he been arrested? How many times convicted? Gascon still had him out in the streets. Karen Bass is insisting Metro Line is safe. Metro Line is safe. Look at this one guy, all the damage he's done to the passengers. So she going back to the victim, Myrna Souza, she wants to go back to Managua, Nicaragua, where she's got a house, go back and see her kids and grandkids. But then this guy jumps her, slashes her face, stabs her in the throat. She stumbles onto the platform at the Universal City Station, and they took her to Cedar Sinai. Half an hour later, she was dead. And they arrested Elliot Noden. The funniest line, I'm putting that in quotes, is the El Segundo Times. Noden had pleaded no contest in 2019 to attacking a Metro passenger, right? A judge ordered him to stay away from Metro trains for 3 years. Who was the judge? Why would you do that? You'd issue a restraining order that he can't board the train? And it's only 3 years. So after 3 years, he's not insane anymore. Now, between the time he was arrested for attacking a Metro passenger, he ended up getting arrested a number of times. So he was still insane, and he was insane this week when he kills Myrna Souza. The Times said she was living a lonely life in Los Angeles. She moved here to make money as best she could. 66 years old. 66. She'd gone to college in Nicaragua, studied ecology. She didn't have that many friends here. So it was a tough, lonely life. Didn't speak English well. And just, she's 66. There aren't that many jobs that she was qualified for.
And goes home a little early because she was tired. Otherwise, she would have waited till the sun rose. Maybe if she waited, you know, she wouldn't run across this guy. But Karen Bass runs an unsafe rail line. And George Gascon runs an unsafe county. But you people keep electing progressives like Gascon and Bass. And then you have your thoughts and prayers ready when this poor lady, Mira Sosa, gets stabbed to death in the neck. Gets her throat cut. Because, you know, those thoughts and prayers work really well after you've elected a prosecutor who doesn't prosecute and a mayor who can't simply budget for enough police to keep the metro line safe. They choose this. Gascon chooses not to prosecute. And Karen Bass chooses not to spend the money. They've got plenty of money. They have record amounts of money. You know it goes for a lot of garbage. Goes billions of dollars goes for homeless programs that fail. All right, more coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
You remember when during the 2016 presidential race, I remember Ken and I reading this on the air. The National Enquirer came out claiming that Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, was an associate of Lee Harvey Oswald. In 1963, and there was a photo, allegedly, of Rafael Cruz with Oswald handing out Fidel Castro pamphlets. This was shortly before Oswald assassinated President Kennedy. And after that photo came out, Trump started campaigning on it because he was still locked in a primary battle with Cruz. Trump went on Fox and said, I mean, what was he doing? What was he doing with Lee Harvey Oswald before the death, before the shooting? It's horrible. Well, now the publisher of the National Enquirer, or former publisher, David Pecker, is on the stand this week in the hush money trial. And he admitted that they made up that story. Just a total fabrication. Under questioning from the prosecutor Joshua Steinglass, Pecker said the editor-in-chief at the time, Dylan Howard, and their research department, and they faked the photo. What they did is they mashed up the photos and pasted them together, and they created a story that Ted Cruz's dad was hung out with Lee Harvey Oswald, and they were handing out Castro pamphlets, and kind of an insinuation that maybe he, Cruz's father, had something to do with Kennedy's assassination. And they said what would happen is Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, would call and suggest which candidates the National Enquirer should go after. They would send him a piece about Cruz, and then the Enquirer would embellish it. They also pushed in 2016 the idea that Marco Rubio, who was also running for president, the Florida senator, had a love child and some connection to cocaine. Same thing, he had something weird, some weird story about Ben Carson as well. Cruz says he doesn't want to talk about it. Conway.
I'm sorry, I just walked in. Are you talking about Bill Handel?
Yeah, what part got you, the connection to...
yeah, Cruz.
Right, Cruz.
All right.
Yeah.
Alex Stone is coming on today. The Department of Transportation is rolling out new rules today that are going to require airlines to automatically give cash refunds to passengers for canceled and significantly delayed flights.
Good.
I don't know why he has to come on. I guess I read the whole story.
That's the story. That's all you need to know.
That's it. All right. Cancel that guy, William. And also, we got a big charity event going on. But the big story is these campuses where these protests are going on. Man, oh, man, it's getting out of control. I watch them all day. I'm on YouTube watching live cameras, Berkeley, Columbia. And it has the sense of, and I was a little too young to remember this, but Kent University, Kent State.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. That how close are we to a shooting like that?
All it takes is one.
Yeah.
You know, one nut.
Yeah.
To go onto a campus.
Or one nut in the crowd.
And- right. And it's over. And then it's, you know, then there's 100 kids dead.
Yeah. This is going to be 1968 all over again.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. And it's Bellio's birthday. So, Sharon Bellio, happy birthday to Sharon.
All right.
Bellio. What? Oh, tomorrow? Oh, Christ. That means I got to bring something in and a gift and everything.
Bring your
it
cupcakes.
Is tomorrow?
Bring your cupcakes.
Oh, tomorrow. I thought it was today. I could have got it by. If the, oh, it's today. Happy birthday. But now it's tomorrow. I got to bring a cake and gifts.
Yeah, right,
and,
yeah.
Oh, man. That's why somebody told me it was today.
So give her a cheesesteak. I think we have leftover.
Oh, yeah. Where's that from? Philly's Best?
Philly's Best.
Oh, they're the best.
They are the best.
Yeah. And you know, you're from back east, so you know this. The bread makes the sandwich in a Philly's cheesesteak.
Yeah. And this is the only place since I came out here that's in league with the East Coast.
Is that right?
Cheesesteaks, yeah.
Oh, that's great. I go to the one in Burbank all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's terrific, man. And I don't care what the price is. You know, somebody said, oh, the price went up. If it's $100, I'm in. I don't care. When you get a great sandwich like that,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I know. There aren't that
what
many.
Are you going to save a dollar and get indigestion somewhere else?
Because the bad ones are the same price. So
that's right, yeah.
Get a good one.
Exactly. They're terrific.
All right, Conway's next.
Ding dong with you, buddy.
Carson's got the news. Live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.